This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Wednesday, November 14th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, a look at the effects of new and larger casinos on problem gamblers. We'll have a report from the Quad Cities area. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. The State Fire Marshal's Office will help determine why an old theater in the Ford County community of Paxton was destroyed Tuesday. Flames were first discovered at the Majestic Theater around 10 a.m., Paxton's fire department and five others were on the scene into the afternoon trying to keep it from spreading to nearby buildings. There were no injuries. The fire also destroyed three second-floor apartments and an adjoining secondhand bookstore and damaged the siding on Paxton's clock tower above City Hall. Paxton Mayor Bill Ingalls says all that's left of the theater, a childhood memory for him, is a twisted mass of metal and wood.
We would come up here and that was where we went to the movies. I can remember my brother and I came up and for probably a dollar for the two of us, we could go in and watch a movie, and, you know, so that was a long time ago, but it was a pretty historic building and had a great marquee out in front of it. It had Paxton on it right on the very front. They've knocked that down with a backhoe and brought it out so it wouldn't be damaged to anybody.
Fire departments from Paxton, Rantoul, Ludlow, Buckley, Loda, and Elliott responded to the blaze. The Majestic Theater was built in 1913. It hosted vaudeville acts years ago, showed movies for several years, and had more recently been home to the Paxton Majestic Theater Group, which put on live community theater productions from 1987 through 2005. 20 East Central Illinois educators talked about their funding needs at the State Board of Education budget hearing in Rantoul last night. But for one official, the state's method of funding education was a higher priority than where the money should be spent. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Those testifying sought more funding for everything from specialized career training programs to grants for computer equipment. But Champaign School Board President Dave Tomlinson also asked the state board to press for changes in how money for education is raised. Tomlinson, who's also running for the Illinois House, supports some version of Senate Bill 750, which would shift much of the school funding burden off of local property taxes onto other state taxes.
My district strongly encourages ISBE to work with the General Assembly to get a solution similar to 750 passed and signed by the governor.
Board of Education Finance Committee Chairman Dean Clark presided over the hearing. He says the ISBE hasn't taken a strong stance on education funding reform, in part because opinions differ widely around the state.
I live just west of Chicago in Glen Ellen. They see that as, you know, the Robin Hood effect. It will negatively affect them, they believe. I'm not sure that's accurate or not.
The ISBE will hold three more hearings this month. Clark says the input they gather will be considered as the board puts together its state education budget recommendation this winter. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Wisconsin has added itself to the list of states backing Illinois' bid for the Future Gen power plant. It's the fourth state to join Illinois in supporting either Tuscola or Mattoon as the site for the $1.5 billion federally sponsored coal-fired plant. Future Gen is being built with several features that keep carbon dioxide and other pollutants out of the air. Indiana, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky would have also expressed support. All three are coal-producing states that would rather see Illinois get the project than two sites in Texas. A decision is expected by the end of the year. A judge has ruled that Illinois' cap on pain and suffering in medical malpractice lawsuits is unconstitutional. It's a blow to the insurance industry and to doctors. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
Doctors fought for the law, which limits what a physician who somehow botched their treatment of a patient has to pay in non-economic damages, such as pain and suffering. Rodney Osborne's an MD and president of the state's medical society. He says the cap's needed because juries were awarding patients inflated damages, causing insurance premiums to skyrocket and forcing doctors who couldn't afford them to leave Illinois. Osborne says since the law capped damages 2 years ago,
many groups and areas in the state were able to recruit either physicians coming back or new physicians coming into the state.
Osborne says the Medical Society will appeal to the Illinois Supreme Court. But president of Illinois' Trial Lawyers Association, Bruce Cohen, says the circuit court judge was right to rule there was a violation of the Constitution's separation of powers. Cohen says it's up to judges and juries to decide the outcomes of lawsuits.
And it's not the power or the responsibility of politicians in Springfield who know nothing about the case to come up with a one-size-fits-all approach.
KEPs are now unconstitutional in Cook County, where the case was tried. The limits remain in place in the rest of Illinois. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Streeter High School officials aren't laughing about a video featuring the school's mascot that's appeared on the YouTube website. The video features the Bulldog mascot scaring a swimming girl with music from Jaws in the background, getting beat up by local kids, and being run over by a car. Superintendent Steve Swanson says the video shows an unauthorized use of school property, and the student responsible for it will be sanctioned through the school's discipline policy. Swanson also says the school wants to be a positive reflection of the community, and the video didn't portray that. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. It's really hard to say. That sums up the answer to a common question. Do the benefits of casino gambling outweigh the costs? Casino Rock Island is building a much larger casino and will move off the Mississippi River when it opens in 1.5 years. And elected officials in the Quad Cities say the casino, hotel, and restaurant complex will create new jobs and stimulate the economy. But a local addictions counselor says they're ignoring the effects of casinos on problem gamblers. Michelle O'Neill has this story.
Angela White is the clinical manager at the Rock Island County Council on Addictions, or RICA, which is located in East Moline. The agency began its gambling addiction program in 1995, a few years after three riverboat casinos opened for business in the Quad Cities.
Through the number of years that I worked here, I had directly worked with people who had horrible gambling addictions, whether it be at the racetrack out here or, you know, going to Vegas or, you know, the card rooms, wherever. They already had pretty serious addictions, and they would just be so grateful that there wasn't that much around here for them to gamble, that they had to leave the area to gamble. And to me, it was something we should not have gotten into. But I think a lot of people were looking at all the positive things, and we've gone through this recession because of the jobs we've lost. This will bring more jobs back into the community. And yes, it has brought jobs, and there's been positive outcome, and that's fine, but we don't ever stop and take the time and look about the negative outcome of the gambling, which we need to look at.
White says an average of 10 people are affected by each problem gambler, including family, friends, and coworkers. In addition, local businesses may lose money when a gambler can't pay the bills.
Let's face it, back in the 80s, how many payday loan places did you see here? I don't believe we had one. Or how many car title loan places did we have here? None. And those are real blatant signs to me. And now some of these places, like the payday loan, have to advertise. You know, use this with discretion. You know, don't take more than you can pay back. But I'm working with a person that she had minimal amount of money left in her car. And now for the next 2 years, she's going to be making payments to pay back the 500% loan she had to get out to go gambling on. Those are the kind of downsides that concern me.
When people ask me, so, you know, what do you conclude from all of this is, well, you know, casinos, they're not as bad as opponents claim, and they're not as good as the supporters or proponents claim either.
That's Mark Nichols. He's an economics professor at the University of Nevada, Reno, who co-wrote a study called Effects of Casino Gambling on Crime and Quality of Life in New Casino Jurisdictions.
It's not going to rejuvenate your community and make everything wonderful, and it's not going to drive it into the ground either.
Nichols says it's pretty easy to measure the benefits of new casinos. Just count jobs and add up increased tax revenue.
But the costs associated with casino gambling are sometimes intangible. Sometimes it's problems associated with problem gambling and how that impacts somebody's life. We don't do very well, actually, at measuring the impact of that. If a divorce is caused by gambling, what's the cost of that to society? That's very hard to quantify. And moreover, with a lot of things like bankruptcy or suicide or divorce, gambling may just be one component of numerous problems. So, you know, how much of that divorce or bankruptcy or suicide, you know, do you attribute to gambling versus other factors?
His gambling effects study also includes crime statistics from 4 years before and 4 years after casinos opened in eight cities, which include Peoria, Alton, East St. Louis, and Sioux City. Nichols compared the numbers to crime levels in other cities without casino gambling.
We really did not find any pattern of, you know, oh, this crime always increases. Sometimes it increased in a community, sometimes it didn't. You know, embezzlement, for example, or prostitution, or a lot of the crimes that you sort of hear that are oftentimes associated with casinos. And there's just so many other factors that change. You know, the communities that have casinos, for example, they raise tax revenue. They may put some of that in police or law enforcement. And when you have more police, there can be two things. It can be a deterrent, so you could have less crime, or it could allow police forces to operate more efficiently and actually arrest and prosecute more crimes.
Addictions counselor Angela White says most people are able to set limits and gamble without any problems, but the small number of people who do become addicted need help.
Become more aware of what to look for with gambling, to encourage somebody they know if they have a problem to get help, and maybe for them to encourage their own city councils, you know, ask them what they're doing to provide services for these people that have lost a lot of things, you know, including sometimes their life because of their addiction to gambling. Because financially, there's very, very little available to help a compulsive gambler. And the big thing that gamblers face when they stop gambling are their financial problems and the fact they have no money. Sometimes they have no place to live and no job and no family. Everything's gone by the time they seek help. It's a very devastating disease.
She thinks one step in the right direction would be for the Illinois General Assembly to create and pay for a government program to treat compulsive gamblers throughout the state.
You know, like Iowa has developed to help people, a certain percentage of that gambling money goes to treatment facilities that to help these people. You know, a lot of people gamble and do well. Not well, but they don't have a problem. They go on, set limits, and leave. But I'm dealing with that percentage of people that can't do that. And they are the people that the votes see over and over and over again, because that's where they're spending most of their time.
Information about gambling addiction is available online at gamblersanonymous.org. The website includes a meeting directory with support groups listed by state. Family and friends of compulsive gamblers may also learn more online at gamanon.org. That's GAM-ANON.ORG. I'm Michelle O'Neill.
In the forecast for the region today, intervals of clouds and sunshine and winds, the high around 60 degrees. We'll have winds from the northwest at 15 to 25 miles per hour, some gusts over 30. Partly cloudy, windy, and colder tonight, the low around 30 degrees, and winds from the west to northwest up to 24 miles per hour. Partly sunny, windy, and cool tomorrow with a high of 47. Clear skies tomorrow night, the low 25, mostly sunny Friday with a high around 50. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, November 14th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.